Hare Krishna. So welcome all of you. So today is very important. Why? Yeah, today is the last session for this unit. And next week is exam. So those who do not know, so it's a reminder. So next week is open book or closed book? Okay, so you are well aware of what's going on. Okay, that's good. So next week is closed book and the week after? Open book. So who haven't actually started yet? It's a very, very genuine question. I appreciate very much. So who haven't started the open book? Who haven't started yet? Okay, one. I had to tell you a bad news, you are in trouble. Really in trouble. You know, you had really worked hard to finish it on time. So next Sunday is the submission of the open book. And there are 8 essays, by the way, if you don't know, if you haven't had a look yet. So you had to be a little careful. And you can consult me if you have any questions. You can ring me up. I hope everyone, or email me. You can expect a reply. Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, I hope everyone has got replies. I think you have only sent an email. Anyone else sent any mails? Nitesh Prabhu has sent me a few mails. And I think nobody else. That's alright. Okay. Now, we will quickly go through what we have covered so far. So far. Okay, it's not just the last week. So far. In this specific unit. So where did we start from? The preface. That is a mood and mission. Okay, that is very good. And from there we move to Dharma. Yeah, somebody mentioned Dharma. Okay, it's a good guess because that's where we are at. Yes, Dharma. Dharma Kshetra. Yeah. Basically Dharma in Bhagavad Gita. And in there we saw a few questions, few doubts expressed by Arjun. Okay, so there were how many reasons Arjuna presented?
Four.
First one?
Compassion.
Second?
Enjoyment.
Third? Fear of sinful reactions. And fourth? Destruction of dynasty. And we gave actually answer to all four. Is it right or wrong? We gave answer that Krishna's response to all four. Is it a right statement or no? If it is yes, okay, what is the first? Compassion? What is the argument that given by Krishna? Body, yeah, exactly. We are not the body, we are the soul. And that is covered in which chapter of Bhagavad Gita?
Second
chapter, that's good. And which section of verses, which block of verses?
11 to 30.
11 to 30, okay, that's good. So then from there we move to? Answer for enjoyment. So there we discussed. Karma Kanda, close to Karma Kanda. Is it Karma Yoga or Karma Kanda?
Karma
Kanda, exactly, that's right. It's Karma Kanda. And what are the third? Sinful reaction. So how Arjuna can actually rectify the sinful reactions? By what process? By bhakti. And that is given in which chapter of Bhagavad Gita? Any idea? Third. 1, 2, 3. Which one you want to choose? 2? Okay, that's good. Which verses? Which block of verses? 38, yeah, that's right. 38 to 53, that's good. So, we actually covered 3. So, who said Krishna has given already the response to the 4th reason? Somebody expressed their strong opinion that the 4th reason, that is the destruction of dynasty, Krishna has already responded to that question. Where? The fourth. What is the fourth response, by the way? Yeah, so that's right. It's in the third chapter. That's correct. But have we gone through yet? That's my question. Oh, we haven't. Okay. Yeah, so of course. Krishna has given answers for all. There is no doubt about it. But question is, have we gone through? No. Okay, so that we will go through today. And second chapter also we covered, after 54 till 72, we discussed elaborately something. Siddha Pragya. Yeah, Siddha Pragya Muni. So there are a lot of characteristics. What is his language? How he talks? How he sits and how he walks. So that actually covered the 54 till 72. And we had a look at some section of third chapter as well. And what is the theme running? Because it is a thematic. So what is the, you know, the consistent theme that we are actually... Varnashrama Dharma. So we had a look at Varnashrama Dharma. What is Varnashrama Dharma? We had a look. Then last class specifically, what did we discuss regarding Varnashrama Dharma? In relation, there are two aspects we are seeing. One is, okay, we have gone to Varnashrama Dharma on one side, and on the other side, what we have gone through? Sanatana Dharma or Krishna consciousness. So last class, what did we discuss? Because we... Exactly. How Krishna consciousness is transcendental to Varnashram Dharma. So we have these two things. So we can consider as a two rails. One side is Varnashram Dharma and on other side is Sanatana Dharma or Krishna consciousness. So we understood what is the definition of Sanatana Dharma and what is Varnashram Dharma. So two sides we have seen. Now, we are trying to actually... How the whole thing fits together. What is the relation and how it can exist, coexist. To that end, last week we had seen Krishna consciousness is transcendental to Varnashram Dharma. But at the same time, today we will see how Varnashram Dharma can support Sanatana Dharma or how Varnashram Dharma can support Krishna consciousness. Can you see? So it's not that we cannot throw the Varnashram Dharma altogether. Okay, we are devotees, so we don't have to follow Varnashram Dharma. Then we will be in trouble. Unless one is on a Babaji platform. Which is not anybody. So that's not the aim also. So we need Varnashram Dharma. And Varnashram Dharma can support Krishna consciousness. So that is the primary topic for today. Now, while getting into it, we have to have a brief overview of the initial few verses from 3rd chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Because it is very, very interesting and it is very crucial. I need a copy of Bhagavad Gita. Who can share? Good, thank you. I'll just have a quick look. So briefly we will be going through 10 till 16 verses of Bhagavad Gita, 10 till 16 to start with. Okay. Now, if you look at the verses from 10 till 16 of 3rd chapter, we have already discussed something about karma kanda. Is it right? Can anyone remember anything that we discussed from second chapter regarding Karmakanda? What is Karmakanda? Exactly, it is fruitive activities. When we use the term fruitive activities means, what does that mean, fruitive? Yeah, we need the fruits. If we do something, sorry? Exactly, working for a result. So that is the normal affairs of this world. Who works free of cost? All of you are working? Yeah, he's working free of cost. He's on an elevated platform. But otherwise, who else works free of cost? No. People go to work and there is a simple formula in work. What is that?
You give and you take.
Yeah, you give and you take. Or in other words, you stop working when your boss stop paying. That is a simple formula. So the whole thing or the whole society is basically working on this principle. But at the same time, when we come to the Vedic context, when we come to Karmakanda, it is a little bit more subtle. And there are people who are involved. The boss is not directly, we can go and see. There is some difficulty in perceiving the boss straightforward. Rather, we get some information from the Vedas about who are those bosses. So that is Krishna is actually starting to talk about. That is from the 10th verse. Specifically, 10th verse, actually it is said, even in the beginning of creation, Krishna has actually started the process of sacrifice to demigods. So the system is implemented by Krishna himself. And that too, it is there from the beginning of creation. And Krishna said, okay, now you can actually start satisfying the demigods, and in return, actually the demigods will supply all the necessities of life. So already there is a business interaction established between all the living entities and the demigods. So we can't actually see demigods straightforward. Maybe you can go to demigod temple, but you can't really perceive on a sensory basis otherwise. It's not possible.
We heard some people so.
Yeah, but only some people.
Some.
So for us, still, you know, we haven't seen. Maybe in ISKCON we have heard, Prabhupada said, you know, many demigods are queuing up to take birth in the devotee families within ISKCON. So maybe some of you are, I don't know. So in that sense maybe we can see some demigods, but in human form still. Still assumed a human form, not yet in the demigod body. Because demigod body is made of, anyone know? Yeah, it's a subtle body, exactly. It's a subtle body. So we can't directly see from our gross vision. It's not possible. So the demigods are there, and if somebody wants to get something materially, rather than being the animalistic propensities using in an animalistic way, that is the current culture, rather follow the Vedic system, satisfy the demigods and get the result. So this is the Vedic system. That is from unrestricted sense gratification to restricted sense gratification as ordained by Vedic scriptures given by Krishna. So this is Karmakanda. Now 10 to 16, these verses actually gradually tells how to progress from Karmakanda to Karma Yoga. So it is talking about a progression. Not, don't stay in the sense gratificatory platform, even though it is approved by the Vedas, but there is an element to it that is to go beyond that. Even we saw many verses in second chapter of Bhagavad Gita where it is mentioned, if actually one knows the purpose of Vedas, then he doesn't have to perform all the ritualistic activities, rather he can perform devotion service. As Prabhu was also pointing out a few times, six times, chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is written in that purport. Yeah, you remember that 47 to 46? 246? I think so, yeah, 246. About the well, yeah, the small well and the reservoir of water. So that is the purpose. So that is the ultimate purpose. We had to understand that is the ultimate purpose. That is come to the devotional platform. And to that, initially, okay, one can start from Karmakanda, though not recommended for us right away, but in the Vedic system, one can start from Karmakanda, and from there one can gradually progress to Karma Yoga. So Krishna is telling, okay, this system is established from beginning of the creation, and the process is, you satisfy the demigods and satisfy in turn will give you all the necessities. Because in the whole world, the sunlight, the moonlight, the heat, the water, the air, we are not bringing anything, but it is provided by somebody. And in Vedic system we understand that is actually managed by, ultimate creator is Krishna, but it is managed by different demigods. There are Agni, Vayu, the endless list are there. People also go to astrologers. People also go to the Navagraha, you know Navagraha, you know, go to the chart first, astrologers, okay, you have problem with the Saturn, you have problem with Mangal, you have problem with this, anyone goes to the chart, there will be a problem. Because in the material world, there has to be a problem. Because even Krishna had the chart, yeah, that's right, Krishna had the chart. What happened when Krishna took birth? All the demigods, all the different planetary system, they arranged in a very auspicious position, whatever they can give, the most auspiciousness, they provided. So Krishna has a chart. Of course. But he is not dependent on the chart. But to some degree we are, to a great degree we are dependent on the chart. But devotees shouldn't think, okay, always, okay, I am the chart, you know, my life is based on chart. So, astrology is the main consultant. That shouldn't be the case. Actually, we will see that point in Nectar of Devotion. How we should actually look into these kind of things. How much can we follow and how much we shouldn't. You know, there is a balance, a fine line between, you know, following the astrology and not following. It's not denied completely, but at the same time we shouldn't be too attached. There is a fine line. So in the definition of your devotion service, we will see how much actually one should go. Okay, so that is one point. So there is the demigod control. Now, Arjun is thinking, it's a very nice point given in Surrender Unto Me. There is I don't need yagyas, demigods and opulent necessities of life, nor must I perform yagya to live. I will go to the forest and live by begging. I won't take from the demigods, so I won't be sinful by not offering yagyas to them. Not only won't I be a thief, but I won't take part in the ghastly sinful warfare. Can you see Arjuna's logic in this context? Arjuna is thinking, why should I pay to demigods? Because if I don't give in return to demigods, if I take all the facilities of this material world, and if I don't give in return to the demigods, then actually one is a thief. You can look at the verse, there is written in the next. So that is, one is a thief. Stena evacha. That is just, he is just a thief. So Arjuna is thinking, no, I won't be a thief because I'll go to the forest, I'll live by begging, so you know, I don't have to perform any sacrifice. No, actually Krishna refutes this argument in a few verses time. The sacrifice is essential because that is a process. If we have, what is the process for sacrifice of this age? That is Sankirtan. Sankirtan Yagya. Because we have to perform sacrifice to pay in return to demigods. So that is the main theme of this section, 10 to 16. Now, even for a devotee, it's very important verses there in this context. That is, devotees only accept the remnants from sacrifice. That is prasadam. We eat only food offered to Krishna, not to demigods. Not prasadam from whatever from the demigod temple. We just offer to Krishna, only offer to Krishna and just eat it through the disciplic succession. So Prabhupada is giving a very interesting story. In 1942, in the World War time, Prabhupada told a story in which the rice price went up 100 times. And Prabhupada was telling, I had, wife and 5 children and 1 or 2 servants. The whole family was 10 people. So most of the people had trouble just to buy rice. And this, the price, the whole thing was created by the British. It was not it was an artificial situation. And Prabhupada was mentioning, he never had trouble in buying rice. Even though the price was up, almost 100 times. Not 100%, 100 times. A few cents to $10 or something like that. A huge hike in the price. Prabhupada was mentioning, because of all the devotees, he didn't face any trouble. Somehow or other, Krishna protected. So that is the Krishna's protection. If somebody is performing yagya, that too, the direct yagya, that is hearing and chanting and offering yourself to Krishna. When one is a devotee, then Krishna is protecting. The Prabhupada is giving his own example. And in one conversation, Srila Prabhupada asks, the point was, the devotees were telling, Russia had a trouble, they are importing food items. They don't have enough production of food items. So Srila Prabhupada is asking, Russia is the largest landmass. Largest landmass. Still they don't have enough food. The Prabhupada's conclusion is, it is because of communism. Because they are completely denying God and they are not offering anything to God. So actually, they are not actually provided with anything in return. So they have actually deficiency in so many different items. Yes, Prabhupada. For the whole world. That is one point. That is, it's a valid point. There is God consciousness in, because China, there is no more that kind of communism which used to exist in Russia. Yeah, that's right. I also saw hundreds of devotees in Mayapur. Actually, it was interesting because my mother, she is never associated with this cult. So when we went first time to Mayapur, so I went with my mother and we went to Ekachakra. And we went with a group of 100 Chinese devotees. And the Chinese devotees, Mataji, taught my mother how to put on tilak. My mother was not, you know, not applying tilak or anything, you know, she was in sari, of course, but, you know, they actually put on tilak for her. So it was an interesting experience for me, you know, you know, how things are working in this world, you know, by mercy of Mahaprabhu. So yeah, very nice. Then, yeah, it was an interesting experience. So there are devotees there. Then even if somebody is atheist, okay, and another point, even if somebody is atheist, do you think, can he get material opulence? Yes or no? Yes, he can. What's the reason behind that? Yeah, one can get that. One can get. But does it last long? Or even the human body, does it last long for such a person? Not necessarily. So, still he is entrapped. Yeah, it's like, you know, Burijan Babu was giving, you know, a nice example. He was always telling about the jumping. Many people, you know, jumping from a hill. One can jump for a few seconds up. And after that, there is a few moments are there up. You know, he's above the hill, actually. If you jump from a hill up, and then it is very nice, you know, above everything, even above the hill for a few seconds. And after that, there's a, you know, a big fall down, you know, it's just going to crash down. So that applies. We cannot deny that fact, you know. Okay, yes, it's up for some time, then it has to come down. So on material plane, nothing can go up and up and up, no. Even if one reaches demigod planet, what happens? Come back. So we discussed also that point. Yeah, now, in 14th verse, Krishna, Arjuna is telling, even it's a very important point. Arjuna already mentioned, okay, if I go to forest, and I don't have to get anything from the demigods, I don't have to perform sacrifice. However, it's not really possible. Because 14 verse is very, very interesting. Because Anna Bhavati Bhutani Parjanyat Anna Sambhava. Parjanyat Anna Sambhava. That is from rain. Parjanya is rain, cloud, rain. From there, what comes? The grains comes. And what is the source of Parjanya, the clouds and the rain? Huh? No, but straight away, what is it? Clearly it's written. Yagya bhavati parjanyo, yagya karma samudbhava. Ultimately, where the... yagya is so, karma samudbhava. So the performance of yagya is so important. So even if Arjun goes to the forest, and even if he thinks that he is independent of the whole system, he doesn't have to offer his results to the demigods. If he thinks in that way, still, is it right? Can he live without the help of demigods? Actually, the whole body is controlled by the demigods. Do you know this fact? Each limb is controlled by the demigod. There is a demigod in charge of each and every limbs of our body. There are at least 33 crore demigods are there, in charge of different material departments. 33 crore. So we are, in one sense, we are controlled by the demigods. It's a fact. But they are just agents of Krishna. So we don't get caught up by, okay, worshipping individual demigods. So how long will you do the arati? 33 crore. Will you finish? There is no end to it. And if one demigod is satisfied, then the other demigod is dissatisfied. One is angry, one is, you know, happy. So how can we satisfy everyone? By individually worshipping. Not possible. So we just worship Krishna. Simple. Just stand, do the arati, attend the arati here. That's a simple process. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, yagya is sacrifice is the translation of yagya.
But am I understanding to a certain extent? You perform puja, you know, create.
Okay, fire. That is specifically this fire yagya. When the fire is, that is not the only, okay, that is a general understanding of yagya. The term, especially in the Indian context, when we hear yagya means there has to be fire and somebody has to throw swaha. That is yagya. That's a good point, actually. We think in that way, but in a wider perspective, even though the external, it is, you know, what is actually, if you see any yagya, especially initiation, or if you closely observe the mantra, one important term they tell, that is idam krishnaya idam namama. Idam krishnaya, this is, okay, if you take a grain and then throw in the yagya kund and say idam krishnaya, means this is for Krishna. Idam namama means it's not mine, it's for Krishna. So the principle, can you understand the principle? Okay, the external activity is one thing, and the internal, the principle is something else. It's not something else, it is highly correlated, but we forget the principle and we see the activity itself. So the activity is throwing something in the fire, but the principle is, this is for Krishna and it is for not for me. So when, the same thing, when we offer food to Krishna and devotees eat only prasadam, only food offered to Krishna. So when we actually offer bhoga to Krishna, when we pray, we are saying, this is for Krishna, this is for you. And when Krishna accepts, then we accept it as prasadam, as the mercy of the Lord. So it is also sacrifice. If we work and if we give donation to temple, that is also sacrifice. If we do service in the temple, that is also sacrifice. Can you see the principle running, the thread of principle running everywhere at the same? We are chanting Hare Krishna, we are calling upon the Lord, we are praying to the Lord. It is sacrifice. Sankirtan Yajna. We are engaging others in chanting of Hare Krishna. We are distributing books. Can you see? It's not for us, it is to give pleasure to Krishna. So whenever that principle is there in any activity, that is Yajna. You see? And then the question arises, the Yajna is directed towards whom? So in the demigod worship, the Yajnapati, or the whoever is the benefactor of that Yajna, is a demigod. And ultimately it is meant to go to Krishna. Okay, ultimately it goes to Krishna. Krishna is Yajna Bhuk. Even 5th chapter we will see, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam. Krishna is the ultimate benefactor of all the Yajnas and all the sacrifices. Krishna is the ultimate enjoyer of all the sacrifices. Ultimately, even if somebody worships demigod, even the result has to come, it has to be approved by Krishna. Ultimately, it goes to Krishna. But we don't take this kind of route, which is, it is, Bhagavad Gita says, it is illegal, it is illegitimate way. Rather, directly go to Krishna. Can you see? So, that principle we have to see very clearly. Yes, Prabhu.
Krishna, the rejection of Purusha.
What is that?
Purusha.
Yajna Purusha, yes. So, even there is a nice verse, Prabhupada quotes. Shriyapati, Yajnapati, a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. That is Yajnapati, Krishna is Yajnapati. So ultimately it is Krishna, Yajnapati is Krishna. Now, in the 14th verse, okay, Arjun cannot avoid prescribed duties because still he needs sunlight, still he needs air, water. He cannot avoid anything. If Arjuna is in the forest, doesn't mean that he can avoid, you know, drinking water or, you know, breathing. He cannot avoid any of these things. Means still he is dependent on the demigods. It means still he has to perform sacrifice. Now, where these prescribed duties are coming from? Because anyone can generate the prescribed duties. It is coming from? Yeah, simple. Vedas. So, karma, brahmodbhavam vithi. That is, karma, the prescribed duties are coming from Brahma. Brahma is referring to as Vedas. The term Brahma, it refers to many things. One is Brahma, is the Lord Brahma is there. And Brahma refers to, do you know other meaning of Brahma? That is the Brahma Jyoti, that Brahma is coming.
Great,
yeah, that is the meaning of the, technically the term is Brahma, that is right. And Brahma also refers to Vedas. That is, that you can, Brahma you can see in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Brahma. Anyone heard the first verse of Bhagavatam? Yeah? Not Dhimahi. Brahma Hridaya Adhikave Muhyandiyam Suraya. Brahma Hridaya. Brahma, that is a Vedic knowledge. That is, Brahma is used to, Vedic knowledge was imparted by Krishna into the heart of Lord Brahma. Adhikave. Adhikave is referring to Lord Brahma, and Brahma, the term Brahma is not referring to Lord Brahma. Rather, it is referring to the Vedic knowledge. So, the same verse, we can see the same point. That is, Karma Brahmodham Vidhi. That is, Karma, the prescribed duties are actually coming from the Vedas. So, Veda is the source. So we cannot argue on, you know, okay, this is my prescribed duty, this, no. Not according to the speculation, but rather from Vedas. It's coming from Vedas. So Krishna concludes in the 16th verse, he says, okay, if you are just living for the satisfaction of one's own senses, then that life is in vain, it's just useless. So that is the 16th verse concluding. Now, from this point, it is coming to a completely a different thing. You had a question? Okay. Coming to a completely different thing. That is, so far it was described, okay, everyone has to perform sacrifice. Suddenly now, Krishna in the 17th verse, it is talking about a person not in the karmakanda level where one has to satisfy one's senses. Rather, it is coming to a person who is completely self-realized. Can you see that? In the 17th verse. Yeah, but for one who takes pleasure in the self, Atmarati, that is Atmarama, that is one who is already self-realized. It is said, one who is already self-realized, he has nothing to do. No duty whatsoever. So far it was all talking about, okay, you have to do the duty, stuff like that. But now, Krishna said, like, okay, if somebody is completely self-realized, then he has no duty at all. He doesn't have to do anything. How does that sound? Interesting? Very good. So, get to self-realize, then one can relax. Is that the meaning? You know, come to platform, now work hard, come to the platform of self-realization, then relax. Is that the whole idea? It is like, you know, people who are working, that is the idea. That is, okay, earn enough money so that we can go for a vacation and relax. Is that the same kind of philosophy that is being taught here? Yeah. No, because we will see in the next verse, you know, Krishna says something more, okay, you cannot just relax. There is something more to do. So, but 19 said, okay, still, therefore, without being attached to the fruit of activities, one should act as a matter of duty. For by working without attachment, one attains the Supreme. So, even if somebody is self-realized, Krishna is telling, still one should act. If somebody is self-realized, still he should act. So, what to speak about us? Are we self-realized? If answer is yes or no, still you have to act. Doesn't matter. If you say yes, no problem. If you say no, no problem. Still you have to act. That's what Krishna is telling. Because it has a meaning in this context to Arjun. So that is actually coming to Varnashram Dharma is an example in our society. That is Varnashram. People are performing duties, prescribed duties to set an example to the society. So that is the main theme that we are coming now. And that also answers the last question or the last doubt Arjun had. So that will be answered pretty much from 20 till 24, 25 that verses in third chapter. So destruction of dynasty is actually answered in this section, because Arjuna says this, the whole family will be destroyed, because if we kill his relatives, then the family will be destroyed, and that is going to, it is going to create so much of problems. Varna Sankara, and ultimately everyone is going to hell. So Narake Niyato Vasa. So Narake means hell. So that is the conclusion of Arjun. That is, if Arjun does his prescribed duty, everyone is going to end up in hell because of destruction of family. So that is the conclusion in the first chapter Arjuna is making. So now we are going to see the answer to this. So the first, one has to perform duty at least for sense gratification, that is karma kanda. And in karma yoga, one is coming to a point where even if somebody is self-realized, still he has to act. Now, Krishna starts giving the example of Janak Maharaj. Janak Maharaj, he was the father of Sita Devi. Still he was a king. King means he had to rule. He was not sitting under a tree. Even though he was a pure devotee, still he was acting. So, in the last verse we can see, for a self-realized person, there is no duty to perform. Still he is acting to set an example for rest of the people. And as a first example of Karma Yogi, Krishna is presenting Maharaj Janak. Because he was ruling the kingdom to set an example, and he was performing his duties within Varnashram Dharma. He was a pure devotee, but still he was performing all his duties within Varna and Ashram to set an example. So that is the first example that Krishna gives. And not only that, he gives another example. Who is that? His own example. Okay. Has he got any duties? If you see, he is a Supreme Lord. He is not a self-realized person. He is a Supreme Lord himself. Okay, so we can see different kind of people. One is, you know, people like us, not self-realized, you know, just normal people. And there are the category self-realized people. Krishna is telling, okay, both of these two categories have to do the prescribed duty. Now, Krishna is coming into a picture, altogether a different platform, that is the Supreme Lord Himself. He is talking about Himself. He said, I have no duties to perform in the whole three worlds. Nothing. Still He is telling, I am performing all the prescribed duties according to Varna and Ashram. If you want to see that, you had to read Krishna book, read Bhagavatam, you can read the Dwaraka Leela. Where Krishna had how many wives? 108. And how many palaces he had? 1108. And how is it? Think about having 16,108 palaces for the time being. Is it easy to manage? Very easy. It's difficult to manage one house.
It's Bengal or Mysore.
Mysore, okay.
Yeah. There was a, when he was alive, he had 400 wives.
Who?
Mysore Maharaj.
Oh, Mysore Maharaj.
So he had, still that building is there, 400. If Mysore Maharaj can manage his 400 wives, why can't Krishna manage it? 15,108.
You know how Krishna used to go to his assembly? Yeah, that's right. What is the name of Krishna's assembly hall? Sudharma? Sudharma? Something in the close. Anyone know? No one remembers? Okay. So when Krishna used to go to his assembly, all the 16,108 Krishnas used to come from each palace, you know, like that. Krishna used to come. And when he enters the one chariot, it's only one Krishna. And he just goes to his assembly. There is only one Krishna, not 16,000, because it's too crowded, you know, sometimes. So just only one Krishna in the assembly. And he used to hold the affairs. And you may know the pastime of Narada Muni also. Narada Muni was very suspicious of the whole situation. Because some yogis, actually they said, some yogi can expand themselves into how many?
Eight.
Yeah. So, but there is one close in it. Okay, they can expand into eight, but they do the actions in the same way. It's like in the cinema you might have seen, you know, the twin double act, you know, both brothers are there, twins are there, doing the eight fights and everything in the same way. So the yogis actually do the fact. Yogis will be acting in the same way. If they are expanding into eight, they do act in the same way. So Narada Muni wanted to test that. So he went to first to, he didn't expand himself. Narada Muni was single person. So he first went to the first palace and he checked what was going on. So Krishna was with his wife, you know, talking something, and the next palace, and each time when entered, Krishna actually worshipped him, offered him a seat, gave something to eat, everything. And went to the next palace, then Krishna was doing something else, sometimes, you know, playing with the kids, you know, joking. And same, Krishna came and again invited Narada Muni, fed him, washed his feet, you know, the whole thing, all the procedure he did. And he went to the third palace, then Krishna was doing something else altogether. And Krishna invited, asked him to sit, wash hand. Narada Muni was thinking, you know, how much can I eat? Because each palace I am going and I am going to eat and it is going on. So then he understood, this is actually the real mystic. The real mystic is a Yogeshwara. Yogis, there are so many yogis, but Krishna is Yogeshwara. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna. So then Narada Muni had to accept, these are different Krishnas, but yet the same. They are acting differently. So this is Krishna. So if you read Krishna book, you can read what Krishna, after getting up, early morning Krishna gets up. He used to meditate on what?
Himself.
But we shouldn't follow exactly the same. That's what we also tend to do in the material consciousness. We meditate on ourselves. If you see a mirror, what do we meditate on? Our beautiful form. We spend time on the, you know, it's like, you know, the same mirror. So that is self-absorption. So for us it is not good, but for Krishna it is good. Because Krishna is meditating on Himself. You know, Dwaraka is another interesting pastime. When Krishna saw His reflection in water, you know, He was thinking.
In the floor.
In the floor? Okay. Then what happened? You are thinking, you know, who is this, you know, such a beauty? That is exactly, if you think, we are also thinking in the same way, isn't it? Oh, I have seen such a, you know, handsome person so far. And if there is some problem, we have some, you know, patchwork we can get done. We can be almost there. So this is a problem we have. This is a problem we have. Self-absorption. So Krishna performed all his duties, but at the same time, sometimes he violated also. Okay. So it is Virajan Babu writes in the Surrender Unto Me that why he actually doesn't follow sometimes.
Only to establish that he is a
supreme. Exactly, that is the point. To establish that even though the whole system is established by him and he sets an example by following, but at times he doesn't follow. Because he is independent and he has to show that I am the Supreme Lord. I can not follow the whole thing, still I am okay.
He is a lawmaker.
Exactly, he can violate the laws.
Even the country president doesn't belong to your rules, he can do whatever he wants.
A country president, there will be a little bit of problem. Little bit of problem, yeah. Here, you know, the Australian Prime Minister once fined for not using the seatbelt.
No, Australian Prime Minister is okay, but I'm talking about the Sri Lanka. conditional.
Maybe for 5 years period they get conditional. The conditions are fine notes are there. Conditions apply. Yeah, but for Krishna, no problem. No fine notes. Always he can do whatever he wants. Just to show that in between he does.
Now, can you tell?
So in this context, if Arjuna doesn't fight, what will happen?
He's not leading by example.
Yeah. Is that just now what you say, self-realized soul? Should act or should not act?
Should act.
So, is he actually acting as a self-realized soul?
No.
Yeah?
What if Arjuna refuses to fight, then Krishna won't be able to perform his duty of charity
to his son. Okay, that's another level to that. Okay.
If he is not going to fight, then people who are following him, the next generations, will also not perform
the prescribed duties.
Yeah,
okay.
He's a king, so he has to
let the citizens
of his kingdom.
Okay. Exactly. So, if Arjuna is a very good point, that if Arjuna doesn't fight, he is setting a bad example for other people and people in general. So, if they follow Arjuna by not performing his duty, what will happen? Exactly. Again, the same thing, you know, the destruction of the family dynasty. Because Varna Sankara has to happen. So on one side, so which verse actually, which is a very nice verse in this section, it talks about one has to actually, one will follow the leader. Yadyad Acharati Shrestha. Yeah, 3.21. That is, people are, whom the people are following? A great person. If whatever acts, everyone is actually trying to follow. So if Arjuna is a leader and if he doesn't follow the prescribed duties, then the whole world is going to be in trouble. Same with Krishna. Krishna tells, if I don't my duties, then I'll be indirectly, he will be the cause of the destruction of the whole world. So he doesn't want that to happen. So he is setting an example by prescribing, following his prescribed duties. So setting by example, what we will do is we have to pair up. already, prayer is ready. You have person next to you. I think, you know, those who are at the back, you know, you can't even see. You should come to the forefront, rather than from the far back, you know, you should, both of you should come to the front, so that you can be part of the class. Don't be the outstanding players. We have enough chairs, I believe. Just sit properly. Okay, I'll just read out the what you have to discuss with your partner. Discuss a recent incident where others followed your example. Okay? Okay, maybe you had to think, maybe, you know, few days, few weeks, few months, few years, or at least this lifetime. Okay, here it completely. So you had to, so partner means you had to tell him and he has to tell you his experience, you know, exchange. Not finished. And what success for those who followed your example? Okay. So I'll ask for that, I'll ask for the question. So discuss this. Oh yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. Again, listen carefully. I will discuss with a partner a recent incident where others followed your example. What resulted for those who followed your example? What resulted for those who followed your example? So try to be in the Krishna conscious realm.